Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, and we want to exalt and continue to worship you now as we receive the word with humble hearts. We pray that you'd help us to keep our minds upon you this morning as we look to your word, that as your Holy Spirit prompts us and speaks to us, that we would take note of that and have the desire to obey you, Lord, in all things and to glorify you. And so, Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Please turn your Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 5 this morning. And we're, of course, looking here at a section entitled the Sermon on the Mount. And we're looking at the Beatitudes. And we come this morning to the third Beatitude. And we've entitled the message, The Strength of Gentleness. And so as you're turning there to Matthew, a couple of announcements. Of course, this afternoon, 2 o'clock, we have our Spanish service with Pastor Mario. So you can go kind of check that out at 2 o'clock over in the chapel. And then, of course, this evening, 6 o'clock, is Refuge. It's young adults Bible study. So that's this evening at 6 o'clock, again, in the chapel. And then Wednesday evenings, we're looking at a series entitled Route 66. We're calling it Get Your Fix on 66. And we're looking at a book of the Bible each evening. Now, this Wednesday night, we're going to be looking at 1 Chronicles. So come on out and join us. And actually, Chronicles is the Holy Spirit's take on history. So you want to know what God thinks about things, come on out this Wednesday as we look at the life of David and we look at what the Holy Spirit seems to pull out of that whole section of 1 and 2 Samuel, what seems to be important to God. So we'll be looking at that this coming Wednesday. Well, we're going to be focusing this morning on verse 5, but let's pick it up in verse 1 of Matthew chapter 5. And when he saw the multitudes, he went up on the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and opening his mouth, he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men cast insults at you, persecute you, say all kinds of evil against you falsely on account of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." We come now to this third beatitude, which is recorded in verse 5. "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." Now, this beatitude, without a doubt, is one of the misunderstood statements of Jesus Christ. Often as I think of this particular beatitude, I think of that hymn by Martin Fallis Shaw entitled, "Gentle Jesus, Meek and Mild." "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon a little child, pity my simplicity, and suffer me to come to thee." We read that in conjunction with Matthew 5:5, which reads, "Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth." We somehow equate gentleness or meekness with weakness. And what a confusion this is. We often think of Jesus as this gentle and mild. But when you look at the Gospels, yes, Jesus is a lamb, but in many cases in the Gospels, Jesus is a lion too. And so it's kind of hard for us to put this together. It was hard for me to put it together in light of the last 3 days, of course, all the shopping that's going on for Christmas. I mean, I saw this amazing phenomenon that just started. I guess now we're having the before Christmas sales, before Thanksgiving now. And that started, of course, Wednesday night. Some of the stores opened up at 12 midnight. And I was watching the news and they said some of the people were standing in line with their turkey sandwiches, you know. And so they didn't get to really sit at the table. They had to kind of take it on the run. So they grabbed their turkey and ran out the door. And so they waited in line. And I was watching as the news was showing some of the events that happened. One of the malls was shut down because there was a riot that broke out. And a couple of ladies broke some arms and legs because they got trampled over in some of the stores. You know, 'tis the season to be jolly. And so they got trampled on. And then, of course, there's this couple of young men were arrested for fighting at one of the malls. And then the big ruckus over the PlayStation. I mean, that's an amazing thing. I mean, just people getting killed over that thing. You know, just wanting this certain little game that the manufacturers didn't seem to produce enough of. And I think of all of that and the shopping, and they were interviewing people last night in the news saying, well, I'm on a mission. I'm going to get what I need to get. And I thought of this verse, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And I look at this verse and I think, how does all of this fit? There's two statements in this particular beatitude I want to call attention to. He says, the gentle or the meek are blessed. And secondly, the gentle or meek inherit the earth. Now, this beatitude sounds strange for two reasons. First of all, number one, gentle or meek is not looked at as an asset. When we talk about a person that's meek, we don't really say, well, I want to be just like them. We don't really look at meekness as really an asset at all. Because we look at meekness as simply being a person that's taken advantage of. The second reason is, we really don't think it's a true statement. We really don't think that meek people inherit the earth. Maybe a meek, gentle person will undoubtedly go to heaven, but they're certainly not going to get the earth. We can't picture that in any sense of the term being true. So we don't really look at this particular beatitude as being true. We believe that a guy that wants to get anything from this world has got to get out there and get it done. They got to be strong. They got to believe in themselves. They have to trust in their abilities. They've got to be an individual that knows the direction they want to go, and they need to just get there. Now, what we have here this morning is what is called a paradoxical statement. Now, when we began looking here at the Beatitudes, we noted that Jesus gave many paradoxical statements. Some of those statements are, serving is ruling. The poor are rich, the least is greatest, weakness is strength, last will be first, losing is finding, giving is receiving, and dying is living. These are some of the statements that Jesus gave in his messages. And we look at this one here dealing with meekness and we say there's no way. Let's face it, it's the James Bonds, it's the 007s that get stuff done. It's not the Pee Wee Hermans and the Woody Allens. Those aren't the ones that really get anything done. It's the Bruce Willises. You know, it's the Charles Bronsons. It's the Clint Eastwood. These are the guys that get out there, know what they want, and get what they came for, and they get out. That's kind of the thinking. And so this statement of Jesus is one that is very difficult. Can you imagine this statement? Blessed are the meek, hanging up in a car dealership. Can you imagine that as the backdrop? Blessed are, or maybe in an insurance office, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. Or maybe at the New York Stock Exchange, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. We look at this statement, we say, Jesus, up to this point, I've liked some of the things you've had to say, but this is strange. You've got to be kidding me. And if you're having a hard time with this beatitude, think of those that were listening to Jesus, because there was a group present within the disciples themselves, known as zealots. A zealot was a radical Jew whose waking hours of his life, whether night and day, was thinking of ways to overthrow Rome. And when he heard this statement, blessed are the meek, they'll inherit the earth, they go, what are you talking about? I mean, this is like planet Earth. This isn't heaven. This is planet Earth. And if a guy is going to get anything, he's got to get out there and work for it and make it happen. You know, there's even some within the church today that believe this, what I'm saying right now. There's a group called, that believes a doctrine called Dominion Theology that teaches that we got to put Christians in key positions in government, in various places, so that we can bring the earth to a point to which God can come for us. We got to get it together so the Lord can come for us. I think of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 31. This is an amazing statement that Paul makes here. He says, "For consider your calling, brethren, there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty and not many noble, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong." So God's way of doing things is so different from the world's way of doing things. And these Beatitudes that we're looking at is a description of a follower of Jesus Christ. They are a total opposite of what the world thinks. Now, we're going to ask four questions as we look at this third Beatitude this morning. Hopefully we'll answer these four questions. Question number one, who are the blessed? Now, we're going to look at this each time we look at a beatitude. He says, blessed are the meek, or blessed are the gentle. What does that mean? Secondly, what is gentleness? We want to define this. We want to look at what it is not, and then we want to look at what it is. And it is a rather difficult word to define. Thirdly, what is the blessing of gentleness? And fourthly, how does one become gentle? So who are the blessed? What is gentleness? What is the blessing of gentleness? And how does one become gentle? So who are the blessed? Now we're looking here at what is commonly called the Sermon on the Mount. And I want to kind of not lose sight of where we're at. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount. Without a doubt, it's the greatest sermon that was ever preached. It's right during a period known as the Galilean ministry of Jesus. Jesus is in the northern portion of Israel, and there he is preaching to common everyday people like ourselves. It was Abraham Lincoln who said, God must love common people. He made so many of them. Well, those are the folks that Jesus reaches out to, common people. So it's in the sermon that Jesus starts with what we call the Beatitudes. There are eight Beatitudes that Jesus gives in this sermon. Now, he's addressing this sermon to disciples. Now, a disciple is a follower of the teacher and the teaching. This is not a new standard by which a man can be saved. This sermon does not replace the Ten Commandments. This sermon is impossible to fulfill through human efforts and resources. And so what Jesus is describing here is a man or woman that has experienced the new birth. He's describing the characteristics, the qualities, the attitudes of someone that is a Christian, someone that belongs to God. And so he says, blessed, or how happy, or to be envied. This word is a difficult word, but it was literally a word that was assigned to the gods. It was talked about the supernatural joy, this happiness, this well-being, this peace that only the gods seem to possess. So when it's applied to us as believers, what it literally is it's God's blessing upon us. It's God's approval. It's what we would say heaven applauds over. So when we talk about blessed, we're not thinking about cars necessarily, or a new promotion, or a raise, or a bonus. We're not necessarily talking about that. What we're talking about, God's approval. We're talking about heaven's applause over something that we have done, over a truth that we have learned and we have received. It's for that man and woman that desires God's approval more than anything. They don't care so much what people think about them. Their focus is what God in heaven thinks about them. Now, that very first beatitude is, blessed is the poor in spirit. It's speaking about that man or woman that sees themselves as spiritually bankrupt. They have nothing to offer God. They are so poor and so beggarly poor, it's like a beggar that's unwilling to lift his head up to receive anything. The second beatitude is, blessed are those who mourn. They also admit it and they mourn over their condition. So who are the blessed? It's those that heaven approves, that God puts his stamp of approval on. It's those that have God's blessing upon their life. That's who Jesus is describing here. Now, what is gentleness? He says, blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Now, first of all, what gentleness is not? And I want to look at just six different things that Jesus is not saying. And I have to do this each time because we have these preconceived ideas what gentleness is. And as we begin to unravel it, you'll see what Jesus is really saying here. First of all, number one, gentleness is not produced naturally. We're not talking about a natural tendency, a natural quality that one receives at birth. There are some people that by birth just seem to be naturally gentle. They're just low-key people that don't cause a bunch of drama. That's just kind of the people that they are. This gentleness that we're looking at is brought about by the Holy Spirit. It's not something that we're born with or born into. Secondly, gentleness is not indecisiveness. It's not wishy-washy. Sometimes we look at a person that we say, that person's a gentle person. And really what they are is wishy-washy. They just kind of go with the flow. They don't want to have waves or cause waves or disturbances. And they'll ask everybody's opinion. Well, I don't really want to give my opinion. Whatever you guys want to do, that's what I want to do. And that's we look at that and say, oh, that person is gentle. No, that person's wishy-washy. Okay, number three. Gentleness is not cowardice. There's some that don't want to fight. There's some that don't want to stand up for things. And we may look at that person and point our finger at that person and say, now that person is a person that is gentle. No, that's a coward is what that is. It's like I'm the Wizard of Oz, if I only had a heart. That's kind of what we often look at and say, now that is a gentle person, and that's what you want to emulate. Number four, gentleness is not niceness. There are some people, whether they be Christians or non-Christians, they're just simply generous types of people. They just like to give, they like to do stuff, and that's just, it's just kind of like that. Maybe something's happened in their life where they just realize how blessed they are, and that's not necessarily it either. Number five, gentleness is not peace at any price. Let's just be happy. Let's just get along, And there's people like Rodney King, why can't we just get along? This thinking, this is not necessarily what Jesus is speaking about. And then number six, gentleness is not a result of social refinement. This is not a person that has learned this quality. It isn't someone that says, well, every day I pick up Miss Manners' column and I read it, and I'm learning how to be a better person. Or I read Ann Lanner's, I learn what the proper things to do. So it isn't something that you've read a column or you've read books and it's produced this social refinement. Now, at this point, we say, then what is it? What is Jesus specifically speaking about when he says, blessed are the gentle, blessed are the meek? Now, kind of bear with me as I define what this is, because it is a difficult word to define. And once we get a grasp upon what this word is, we'll say, you know what? I want this. This truly is a quality from God, and it is something that should be part of my life. The word gentle can be translated mildness, but it's not weak. It's subservient, trusting attitude towards God. It's the idea of a wild animal that has been domesticated, that has learned to accept the control of his master, properly behaved. So kind of in the idea, it's almost like a wild horse that has great strength that's now under the control of a master. None of us would ever challenge and say that a horse is weak. A horse is a strong animal. But when a horse has been trained or domesticated, what a useful tool a horse is under the simple reins of its rider. And that really, in a sense, is the description of what a gentle person is. It's great strength that is under restraint. It's used in the sense of a soothing medicine, a medicine that brings healing. It's referring to a gentle breezes, which cool as opposed to hurricanes, which kill. It's power under control. It's anger on the right occasion, with the right people, at the right moment, with the right motive, for the right length of time. It's not selfish anger, anger over insults or injury or that's been committed against oneself. It is the view, it's the true view of oneself, expressing itself in attitude and conduct with respect to others. So you kind of get an idea of what it is. It's what it is in a night, it's surrender. It's basically surrendering to the Lord. It's recognizing our weakness. It's saying, God, you be my strength. I won't defend myself, but I'll die defending you. Because if I'm defending myself, it's because I'm into myself. And I'm thinking about myself, and that isn't what a gentle person does. Now, I want you to notice it is the third beatitude, because each one of these beatitudes builds upon the other. We first start with poor in spirit. We have nothing to offer God. Secondly, we admit it, and we mourn over our sinfulness. And now, thirdly, we surrender to God. We allow God now to empower us and to come through us. Now, this beatitude is attacked every day. And I'll tell you, you want to keep attention to this attitude, specifically over the next month. Because this particular quality is going to be under attack, specifically through advertisers. With the various little things that they want to sell us. You deserve this. You deserve a break today. You know, it's like that commercial I saw the other night where there's a brand new car with a ribbon on it in front of someone's house. And two women are thinking, oh, it must be for me. You see, that goes against gentleness. And it's like, you know, I could have had this watch, but why didn't you get me this watch? And so what it is that it's an appeal to us. It's an appeal to our flesh that we deserve this. We've earned it. It should be for us. It's ours, and it's ours for the taking. Gentleness is not sensitive to self. It no longer worries about self. A gentle person isn't concerned about what others say. It does not seek to protect itself. It knows that there's nothing worth defending. There's nothing good within oneself. And so a gentle person doesn't constantly try to defend what they've said. They don't constantly try to make people think better of them. A gentle person doesn't do that. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, the man who is truly meek is the one who is amazed that God and man can think of him as well as they do and treat him as well as they do. That really, in a nutshell, is really the heartbeat of a man, woman, or child that has taken on this third beatitude. It's the attitude, I'll never defend myself, but I'll die defending God, is what the attitude is. And it goes against our very nature. When we're misunderstood, we want to explain. When people think ill of us, we want to change their thoughts about us. But a gentle person isn't concerned about that. What they're concerned about is God's honor. They're concerned about God. That's what they're concerned about. It's not self. It's not the elevation of self. In the examples of gentleness, Jesus Christ is the model of gentleness. Now, I don't know what your opinion has been of Jesus, meek and mild Jesus. But I want to describe Jesus Christ to you in just a few words, how Jesus is the epitome of gentleness. First of all, Jesus, in respect to himself, he never practiced vindication or retaliation. Now, I want you to listen to these words. Jesus never practiced vindication or retaliation. He never specifically stood up for himself, per se, so that others would think differently. He never did that. And he never retaliated when he was abused or misunderstood. For instance, when Jesus was mocked and he was spit upon, he kept silent. You'll notice that in the gospel. He was silent. He trusted the Father. When Jesus was confronted by Pilate, if you'll notice the Gospels, he doesn't say anything. Pilate says, you're the king. Doesn't say anything. He doesn't sit there and say, well, I am, and I'll prove it to you. I am, and you were. You're gone. He didn't do that. Jesus is silent, and you're thinking, why is this guy silent? Because he's gentle. When Jesus was betrayed by his friends and they fled, he didn't utter reproaches, I'm going to get back at you, chumps. And he didn't do that. He stood there as they all fled from Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Peter denied Jesus, Jesus restored him to fellowship and to service. When Judas came and kissed Jesus in the garden, he called them friends. And Jesus actually meant it. When Jesus was hanging on the cross and they were cursing at Jesus and they were mocking him, do you remember what Jesus said? Father, they know not what they're doing. You see, that is gentleness. That's gentleness at its best. But at the same time, Jesus was a lion in matters of faith and in care for others. Oh boy, you attack one of Jesus' disciples. You misrepresent the Lord and look out. That lion literally became, or that lamb became a lion. When Jesus rebuked the Pharisees of their hardness of heart, he healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath. And oh, you talk about unleashing Jesus Christ. Oh, I mean, he was so hard on the religious. As he confronted them in their hypocrisy, what do you mean? I can't do good on the Sabbath. What do you think the Sabbath's for? And boy, Jesus just began to just go up and one side the other. He was angry with his disciples when some of them tried to keep little children from coming to him. Jesus actually rebuked his disciples. He says, what are you doing? The kingdom of God belongs to such as ones like these. When he came into the temple and he saw that they had turned it into a beller swap meet. Oh, you want to talk about someone that got upset. He actually took a cord and made a whip out of it and chased them all out and flipped over their tables. And yes, that's meekness. When Peter told Jesus that he wouldn't go to the cross, Jesus looked at Peter and says, get behind me, Satan. Boy, here's the guy that's supposed to be the founder of the church. He says, get behind me, you devil. I mean, check this out. I mean, this is meek and gentle Jesus. Because he was standing for the honor of God. He was standing for the reputation of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I think of that scene in John chapter 18, verses 1 through 11, when Jesus is being arrested in the garden. Jesus could have called a legion of angels to deliver him. But Jesus simply just surrenders to these men. These men that are going to beat him beyond recognition. They're going to spit at him. They're going to rip his beard out. They're literally going to fillet his back. And Jesus just goes with them. Doesn't fight him. See, because Jesus was gentle. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23 says that he's the example of how to suffer. For you have been called for this purpose since Christ has also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. While being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. You want to know how to be gentle? Look at Jesus Christ. When they mocked him, he was silent. When it came to the honor of God and the protection of others, he was a lion. And that is being gentle. We don't look at it that way. We look at, oh, you know, he's a little out of control. No, he's not. It's exactly what gentleness is. We look at the example of Abraham. Abraham was a gentle man. In Genesis chapter 12, God comes to Abraham and gives to him what we call the Abrahamic covenant, where God promised to Israel all the land, that through their descendants, all of the earth would be blessed. And then we come to chapter 13, verses 8 through 12, where his nephew Lot, his herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen start arguing. And what does Abraham do, the gentle man that he is? He says, you know what, Lot, look, just whatever land you want, take it. And that's it's his. It's Abraham's. So Abraham, being the gentleman, says, just take whatever you want. You see, that's gentleness. It's nothing to fight over. Just go ahead and take it. That's exactly what he did. And Lot chose for himself. Later on, he finds himself down in Sodom and Gomorrah. We think of Joseph. Joseph is another example of gentleness. Here's one that was loved by his father, that was hated by his brothers, sold into slavery, becomes prime minister of Egypt, and now his brothers come before him asking for food. Now, there's an opportunity to be a Bruce Willis right there. There's the opportunity. There's an opportunity to slay your brothers and say, do you remember me? There was an opportunity, a golden opportunity. But he never utters a word against them. Matter of fact, later on in chapter 50, verse 20, Joseph says these words, and as for you, referring to his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result to preserve many people alive. See, Joseph trusted the Lord like Jesus trusted his father. Another example is Moses. In Numbers chapter 12, verse 3, we have this statement. Now, the man Moses was very humble or meek, more than any man who was on the face of the earth. He's referred to as the most meekest man on earth, is the title given to Moses. But boy, when you read Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 15, we don't have time to read it. Boy, you see a meek man in action. It refers to him as being the meekest man, but then you see his brother and sister Aaron and Miriam backbiting Moses because of the woman that Moses had married. He had married a Cushite woman from Ethiopia. And so they start making comments about Moses' wife. And what happens is Moses stands back, doesn't say anything. He says, okay, God, you'll take care of it. And boy, did God take care of it. God struck his sister Miriam with leprosy. And Israel had to wait around for 2 weeks for Miriam to be cleansed so they can continue on in their journey. See, a meek man says, God will take care of it. I'm not to defend myself. I'm going to sit here and spend all of my time defending myself. God will fight my battles for me. I'll die defending God, but I defend myself. I have no thoughts of that at all. David was another one that was meek. I mean, you look at David, he had chased for 20 years by Saul. There's two times he found himself in a cave where he literally could have snuffed Saul out right on the spot. And even his own men, Joab says, why don't you just give me one shot with a sword? I'll take his head off right now. I would have said, praise God, God's speaking through him. Go ahead, do what you got to do. You know, that's what I could have said. But he stood there and says, no, I'm not going to lift my hand up against the Lord's anointed. And then we see this instance in 2 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 14, as David's being run out of Jerusalem by his own son Absalom. His own son Absalom is trying to take the kingdom away from his dad. And this man named Shimei comes up and throws rocks at David, spits at David, cusses at David. One of David's men say, give me just one swing, that's all I want. All David's got, all he wants to do is swing swords. He goes, just give me one swing and I'll deal with this dead dog right now. And David says, no, let him alone. You see, that's gentleness. That's meekness in action. We look at Stephen in the New Testament in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was being falsely accused in Acts 7:58. And when they had driven him out of the city, they began stoning him. And witnesses laid aside their robes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep or he died. Now that's truly a meek man. As he was being stoned, he was praying for those that were illegally executing him. He stood by. Paul, of course, is an example of an extremely humble or meek individual. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, 2 Corinthians 10, 1 says, Paul says, now I myself urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent. Here's an individual who's meek. He says, man, when I am weak, then am I strong. So we have these great examples in Scripture of what genuine meekness really is. Well, let me give 5 reasons why we need to be meek. If we're going to be Christians and we're going to walk with God, we're going to be identified as followers of God, the Bible gives us reasons why a Christian is to be meek. Number one, so we can receive God's truth. You know, if you're not meek and you're not humble, you can't receive the Word of God. Do you know that? In James chapter 1, verse 21 says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. This morning, if we have an attitude this morning as we sit there saying, I know all this, I know this stuff, then you know what? This message will not help you. These words of Jesus will not benefit you at all. But if you have a humble heart, if you are meek and you're willing to receive from Jesus Christ, then you can receive other truths from God. And it really has to do with the condition of our heart. Secondly, in order to be effective witnesses, I think some of the worst witnesses for Jesus Christ are prideful witnesses. Those that simply, I know it all. Just ask me any question, I'll give you an answer. I have all the answers. And how we need to be humble and meek when we're sharing the Word of God. 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So hard to receive from a proud, puffed up vessel. But boy, it's easy to receive from someone who's humble, that's trusting in God. Number three, it is the evidence that we are truly Spirit-filled. One of the qualities and one of the attributes of being Spirit-filled in Galatians 5:22 through 23 is gentleness. It shows that we are truly Spirit-filled. Now, being Spirit-filled doesn't mean that you roll on the ground and bark and all this other stuff. That's not Spirit-filled. That's just being an idiot is all that is. It's not Spirit-filled. People do that. So you can watch that on Christian television all the time. That's not Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled is holy living. Spirit-filled is a godly character. Anybody can make a lot of noise. Anybody can do that. It's like this Indian one time that went to an evangelistic service, and this evangelist was yelling and screaming. So when they got all done, this person asked the Indian, he says, what did you think about the service? He says, well, it's kind of like a lot of clouds, but no rain. You know, it's just a lot of noise is all it is. And sometimes we're sitting there speaking in tongues and doing all this stuff. It doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean that we're spirit controlled. And fourthly, it's the biblical way or the proper way to treat one another. Being gentle towards each other, being humble towards each other, is how a Christian is to conduct himself. And in Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, Paul says these words, and he uses Jesus as the example. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So that's the attitude we're to have. We're to prefer one another. We're to put others before ourselves. And the only way you can do that is if you're gentle. It's the only way. It will never happen any other way. And number five, being gentle brings glory to God. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4, he's describing the type of woman. He's describing marriage. And he says, a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. God is just so blessed when we're gentle and yielded to him. Now, what is the blessing of gentleness? He says here in verse 5, blessed are the gentle. Now, what is the blessing? Well, first of all, it is first the fact that we're blessed. We already noted what that word blessed means. It means God approved, heaven applauds. It's simply saying you have God's blessing or God's approval on this character trait or this quality. Secondly, we are empowered. When a person is gentle, they're literally being empowered by God. When you yield yourself to God, you're yielding to His power. It's like the horse that just allows the rider with that bit in his mouth to control him, to go to the left, to go to the right. The parade that was on just Thanksgiving Day, that Macy parade, and they were talking about the various animals, these strong, strong animals. And they were talking about how that the characteristics of these animals is that they can obey their master. That they're not spooked by people. That is, in a sense, gentleness is what it is. It's allowing power to be under the control of another. It's yielding yourself to God. And a person that is yielded to God is a person that God can do great things through. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me." So how is the meek person blessed? First of all, they have God's approval. Number two, they have God's power because they're yielded to God. And the third blessing is we inherit the earth. Now, this is an interesting statement that he makes here. Notice that word they in verse 5. The pronoun is emphatic, and what that simply means is this. Blessed are the gentle, for they and they alone, only they shall inherit the earth. Now, notice what I'm about to say. This isn't a play with words. This is real. Because the world possesses a lot of things, but the world doesn't own things. The world may possess things, but they don't own them. Do you know that as a believer, God has given us all things? This earth is ours. Do you know that as a child of God? Bill Gates may own this or think he owns it, but he really doesn't. It may be in his possession, but it's not really his. I mean, the old expression's true. You know, I've never seen a U-Haul van following a hearse. And it's true. You don't take it with you. You really don't. And what Jesus is literally saying here is that if you become a follower of me, it's all yours, is what he's saying. Now, we know this because the Bible clearly teaches this. That Christians don't earn it. They inherit the earth. It's an inheritance that's been given to us by our Father. Right now, we experience forgiveness, peace, and joy, and freedom. But eventually, this whole planet will be in our possession. It truly will. In 1 Corinthians 3:21 through 23, Paul says, "So then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you, and you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God." Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6 says that during the millennium, this earth we will rule and reign on. So as a Christian, we may not necessarily have possession of it, but we're going to inherit it all. And you look at the ocean and you look at the beautiful places on earth, and to think that they're ours as Christians, it's actually ours. It's our Father that owns all this stuff. And it's part of our inheritance as a Christian. It's been given to us. And it's an amazing thing to think this. And he says, it's because you belong to God, these things you receive as an inheritance. Now, how does one become gentle? Well, first of all, I want to kind of give a test. And this is a really heart-searching test as we look at this quality of gentleness and ask ourselves, do I really possess this gentleness? Number one, am I considerate of others? That's a good question. Do I stand while others sit? Am I a servant? Am I ever grasping? Do I make sure I always get mine first? Is numero uno one of my nicknames? Is subtle force in my life? Do I care little about how my actions affect others? Because if I'm not considerate of others, then there's a good, not gentle. Secondly, sweet-tempered. Do I speak my mind? Am I mean in my treatment of others? Am I harsh? I mean, that's a good question, because if I am harsh, if I'm not sweet-tempered, then you know what? I don't possess this third quality. Number three, am I humble-minded? Do I boast about my possessions and my achievements? Do I boast how good I am? And everybody knows, oh, here comes that story again. You know, is that what people think? Number four, am I teachable? Am I open to correction? Am I open to new ideas? Am I willing to change? You see, that's a sign of gentleness. Number five, am I vengeful? Does everybody know you better not cross that person because they always get their pound of flesh? Don't cross so-and-so. That's a person that's lacking in gentleness. Number six, am I uncontrolled? Does rage fill my soul? Do I blow up? Do people have to walk around on eggshells when they're around me because you never know what they're going to do? You see, all of these things that we just looked at are a sign that we're not gentle. As R. Ken Hughes says, if you are a self-satisfied Christian who thinks that a lack of gentleness and meekness is just you, and people will have to get used to it, if you're not repentant, you are probably not a Christian. Jesus' words are not demanding perfection. The point is, however, that if a gentle, meek spirit is not at least imperfectly present in your life, if it is not growing, you may very well not have the smile of God on your life. You may not be a Christian. And I know these are strong words this morning, but the words that we have to examine our hearts with and say, am I genuinely a follower of God? Because if I am, I'm bankrupt, I've mourned over it, and I'm yielding to God. If I'm not yielding to God, then that's a sign that I've not put Christ first. How does one become gentle? Well, it's the same steps that we've been looking at in the Beatitudes. Number one, it's poor in spirit. It's recognizing I have nothing to offer God. Secondly, it's admitting it and it's mourning over it. And thirdly, it's total dependence upon God. It's yielding to Jesus Christ. Now, I left something out and I want to look at it now as we close. Turn over to Psalm 37. I want to look at this because Psalm 37, verse 11, is actually the verse that Jesus quotes from. It's an interesting psalm because in Psalm 37, 11, we read the words, "But the humble will inherit the land." I want to look at these first 11 verses of this psalm because in this psalm, the psalmist is describing how the humble behave. And you want to talk about some application. You want to talk about what it all means and how you do it. This psalm truly describes it. He describes how those respond who are inheriting the land. In Psalm 37, verse 1, he says, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious towards wrongdoers. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." Verse 3, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness." Verse 4, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Verse 5, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he will do it. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday." Verse 7, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because the man who carries out wicked schemes." Verse 8, "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil doing." Verse 9, "For evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land." Verse 10, "Yet a little while and the wicked man will be no more, and you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there." Verse 11, "But the humble will inherit the land and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity." How do the humble respond. Now, underline this in your Bible, and I'll give you these verses. Look at verse 3. This is what a gentle person does. They trust in the Lord, and they do good. You want to know what to do as a gentle person? Trust in God and do the right thing. Look at verse 4, the second thing. Delight yourself in the Lord. Love God. Be excited about the things that God's excited about. Delight yourself in your relationship with the Lord. Look at the third thing in verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Your plans, you bring them before God and you commit them to God and say, God, you do with them as you please. That's what a gentle person does. Notice the fourth thing in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wait patiently for the Lord. And then notice the fifth thing in verse 8, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Remember that when you're trying to get a parking place this month. Just remember that. Remember that. You see, a gentle person doesn't freak out over that stuff. They cease from anger and they forsake wrath. They put it in God's hand like Moses did over them backbiting him. He says, God, you take care of it. And boy, God did. And then verse 11, but the humble will inherit the land. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you for these Beatitudes. Have these attitudes, beautiful attitudes. Lord, these are the characteristics of a genuine disciple of God. A man or woman that has come to know you. Now, maybe this morning as we look at this Beatitude, we're rather discouraged this morning. Because we see what it says, but we're not fully there. Lord, we desire to be there. We desire to be that gentle person that is yielded to you. Great power under restraint. That out of great weakness comes greater power. And so, Lord, help each one of us to be like Moses, meek. Let us be like Jesus, a lamb and at the same time a lion. When it comes to the things of God. Lord, I pray that this week and even this day as we leave this place, that you continue to develop this gentleness within our lives. It's such a need today within the church, Lord, and outside of the church. How we can be so lifted up in pride, but that's not your way. So, Lord, help us. Help us to trust in you. Help us to allow you to fight our battles. Let us literally let our hands off of it and allow you to fight for us. Speak to those here that don't know Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that you would show them through this beatitude how much they need you. And how only through a new birth might they experience you. And Lord, we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. As we close this morning with a song.